Welcome to the Healthy Mamas Podcast, where you'll learn the keys to living a healthier life, from nutrition to mental health, parenting to self-care. This podcast has you covered.
If you are feeling isolated, defeated, overworked, and underslept, you are not alone. We stand with you in solidarity and want to support, nurture, and empower you. So put up your mom bun and join in on the conversation.
So welcome back to the Healthy Mamas Podcast. I'm really excited today because Monica and I are recording together, and we actually haven't recorded together since the beginning of December, I believe. Beginning of September, December, or maybe end of November, and it's February 23rd today. So we're finally getting our stuff together. I mean, we've had separate podcasts, and I was moving, and we're both hot messes. So I'm just excited to kind of like get back in a groove.
More so me. I've been dropping the ball. It's good that we like batch recorded it and got so ahead of ourselves the first few months, because for a while I was like, oh, we're doing too much. We can slow it down. And I'm like, well, it's been a crapshoot for the past few months and I've been failing to show up. So it's good that we did that.
Yep. That I like to do things that way. Exactly. So we have that. I thought today we would talk about like things we kind of wish we knew before we had children, before we were mothers. This will go into like a number of different topics, like from, like something that I always think is funny. Like before I had kids, I would see like toddlers on iPads and I'd be like, that will never be me. My children will be playing. And meanwhile, the iPad raises my daughter now. So it's just things like that. There's funny things that are serious. I just thought it's a good conversation to have. And hopefully, if you're listening to this, you can relate to it. If you have another one, like shoot us a message on Instagram, and because we want to hear them, because it's just something that makes us laugh, right?
I think they'll appreciate that this episode is going to be pretty off the cusp. Like we can be very structured, especially when we do interviews, but I think we're just going to, this is going to really, really feel like just
conversation.
Sit down coffee convo.
Yeah. We're having coffee, or I am. And yeah, actually, you know what I want to do though, before we go, I have another review I want to read. So on the podcast I didn't do with you, I read a review from, Schmeg, and today
I heard it. Heard it when I did the show notes. Yep.
Yeah. And today, because so Monica and I, like she's in the US, I'm in Canada. So I only see reviews from Canadians, and then she only sees reviews from Americans. And for some reason, Apple Podcasts does it that way, and it drives me crazy. But so I'm going to read one from Rebecca K32. And I know who she is. She's great. Hey, Rebecca, I know you're probably listening to this because we chat on Instagram and you're in my DMs and I appreciate you. But it says, I have never been a podcast lover until now. I listen to every episode and every episode speaks to me. Keep up the great work, ladies. Like, how awesome, Rebecca, is that?
That's really awesome. I think Rebecca's in my DMs too. She's really sweet. Let's dive in. Let's talk about... you brought up the iPad, right? And and like, let's also talk about like, and I'm sure there's been a shift for you with rules and regulations that you maybe had in place mentally with your first kid versus your second kid. And then just like anxiety and stressors that were prevalent with your first that weren't there with your second, or vice versa. Like I feel like anyone who I speak to who has more than one child always tells me their kids are vastly different. Right. Mm-hmm. And you think like one way with your first, and then your second comes and you thought you had it all figured out, and they just turn your world upside down, either for the easier or for the harder or whatever it is.
Oh, for the harder.
Speak to me about that though, because
okay,
I know Vivian was harder for you, but like a lot of my close friends had their harder kid first and then they had an easier kid or whatever it was.
Yeah. So my son was like super awesome in the sense of like, he'd put himself to bed. He's still really chill. He's a chill guy. He doesn't like, even when he's super happy, he doesn't get like overly excited. He's always like, cool. Like that's just his attitude. And he was like that as a baby and as a toddler. So my big issue was, I mean, he didn't even really do it for long. And so he used to go into my Tupperware container and I'd be like, oh, babies are so hard. Like that was my big issue with him. Which like he would always entertain himself. He was just that way where Vivian is very demanding. When she wants food, she wants it now. She gets that from me, but she's very demanding. Same. If she doesn't get what she wants, she'll scream. Like no does not appease her, where I could say no to my son and he would be upset, like rightfully so, but he would move on. Where yeah. it's a fight with my daughter. It's hard. Like I said to you earlier, I was just speaking at a summit and I was like, set her up and everything, and she's like, no, I want to go see mom. So I'm in the middle of speaking to all these people and she's like banging on my office door and climbing up with no hair brushed, her underwears on, like I wasn't thinking. And my feral child, like I call her my feral child because she looks like she just came out of the bush, like she has her hair all crazy all the time. Like I'll do her hair and she rips it out, or what, like she's a kid, she plays, but she goes hard. That's it. She goes hard. She is very feisty. And I keep just telling myself that these are qualities that are going to serve her as she's an older woman working or starting her life or career, that she is so tenacious and strong headed. I'm like, it's hard for me now, but it's going to be really good for her later. It's tough. I actually really do. Like I laugh and stuff because I make jokes, but I struggle. I struggle with Vivian.
I feel the exact, I feel like they're cut from the same cloth, Vivian and Sophie. All of the, you know, troubles or worries that I have with Sophie are so intense right now and have driven my anxiety. That's not something that I usually live with day to day. I mean, I feel like I haven't had true generalized like everyday anxiety since I was a teenager. And the last 6 months, it is almost impossible to manage. And I tell Tim all the time, and he tells me we have to remind each other when we're frustrated, like, gosh, it's so hard right now. But you're right. Like when they grow up and get older and become teenagers and young adults and adults, like I really don't think I'm going to have to worry about her. Like she's going to be a headstrong, tenacious, like you said, fierce, yeah, independent lady. And they'll give us hell until then, but it's going to be well worth it in the end if we survive.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And like she's so sure of herself. I'll be like, oh, like just for example, like, oh, do you want some broccoli? Like, or I'll put broccoli or something on her plate. She's like, nope. And I know, like, there's no fight in it. It's just like, okay. you know, and something, it's just so hard. I wanted to say, I know we talked about this before on our text and you said you didn't experience it, but I had a really good conversation with someone in my Instagram DMs about this, that we didn't realize the anxiety of, okay, so for example, like, especially even before COVID, because, you know, I'm locked in my house, I work from home, I don't get out often, you know, it's, I'm with the kids all day. So when I do meet up with another adult, I get anxiety over that in the sense of like, we'll talk and I feel like I'm doing word vomit. I'm just like spewing everything because I'm seeing a human. I'm like, yeah, this, that, this. And then I'll walk away after or get home or whatever. And I'll be like, oh my God, did I talk too much? Should I have said that? Should I have done that? Or, oh, I shouldn't have said this. And that has been happening the last, I'd say since Vivian was really born, where I start second guessing what I had conversations about, which is crazy. And I thought it was just me until actually, I think my friend said she does it too, but I was speaking with someone named Erin in my DMs and she was mentioning how she feels that too. Mm. And it's just kind of helpful when you feel like it's not just you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think the reason I don't experience that is because I don't ever second guess myself. And it's a huge flaw.
Oh, why would you say that to a flaw? It's called confidence.
No, it's called like, I don't really have like a filter and I don't think before I speak. And it bites me in the butt a lot. So I don't know, just like little like nuances and conversations that I have where I may have said, like, sometimes like Tim will be like, we'll have like friends over and they'll leave and he'll be like, yeah, when you said blah, 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 yeah, you shouldn't have said that. That was like really like, that was too much. That was uncomfortable for them.
That's my husband. Like, that's like, I'm always like, why would you say that? Like when we're, you know, after a situation, I'm like, you should have said that. Cause my husband is very, he says that, and he never means anything negative by it, just like how you are. But sometimes, you know, you never know if people are going to take it the wrong way, or if you're meeting new people, it's just like, okay, let's tone it down on your sarcasm or something, you know? Which I think it's just hard to navigate adulthood that way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cause absolutely. I used to be like that. Like in high school, I would just say things and I didn't care. And I was a little more loud and I would state my opinions and I didn't care if it was mean or whatever. And then I became an adult. And I think as from being a parent, I became more empathetic. And now I'm always like worried that I'm going to hurt someone's feelings or I don't know, or just say too much that inappropriate. And I just think it's, again, I don't see adults much. So I'm just like people. And like I have a friend, Katie, my friend Katie from Prince George. Actually, we need to do an interview with her. She's fantastic. She, like every time after she comes over, when we lived in Prince George, I'd be like, I think I talk too much, because she was still like a relatively new friend. I'm like, am I talking too much? Should I stop talking so much? And it's funny because I'm actually going to do a Zoom with her tomorrow. But I don't know. It's the second guessing and the anxiety that's ridiculous. And then I'll be like, well, if they don't like me, it's fine. Like, that's just how it is. But then it's just like, but did I talk too much? It's just ridiculous. Saying it out loud, it sounds so ridiculous, but it's just something that happens to me.
No, it's great. You're always like evaluating. I mean, until the point where it becomes like deconstructive, right? But it doesn't sound like it's there. Like it's just something that you do. You like you run yourself through a fine mesh sieve, whatever they call it.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a good thing though. I don't know.
There needs to be a comfy medium between how you handle these situations and how I handle these situations.
Yeah. We need a middle person. We need a hybrid. Yeah. So, I mean, that's something that I didn't know would happen before I had children. But yeah, I mean, like the list is long. Like what's another thing that your experience with Sophie or even the second pregnancy that you didn't think that would happen?
Gosh, I don't know. There's just so many things. I'm thinking back to, and this goes back to, I'm going to go back to when she was born and some of the struggles that we had immediately after she was born, that, you know, I'm such an open person and, you know, I'm on Instagram every day. I create content for a living. I have a community that I'm connected with. I have close friends that have kids. However, I went through some stuff with her when it comes to, like, for instance, breastfeeding that I didn't even know existed. So the fact that I didn't know these problems and issues could arise really just like it makes it dawn on me that people that are really just not as connected in the space, who aren't as open, who don't have like a supportive community lifting them up, like, they must feel so much more lost and unsupported and like they want to give up. Like, we had issues with her tongue ties and lip ties, and they were so severe that she didn't have like a latch at all. Like, she literally would not go on my nipple. So the first month that she was alive, God, and I was stubborn. I could have went and got formula, right? I could have saved myself a lot of trouble while we were trying to figure things out. But like, I'm very stubborn and I knew I wanted to breastfeed, even if it was at the cost of my mental health. So I was, and luckily Tim was home for 6 weeks, right? So every hour and a half, because it would take me half an hour to pump. So every hour and a half, because I was feeding her about every 2 hours, every hour and a half, I would pump for half an hour. And then instead of giving her a bottle, our lactation consultant recommended, it was called an SNS device. So it was literally this like plastic syringe that we would fill with my breast milk. and it had this like very thin wire attached to it that we would clip to one of our pinky fingers. So like something small that would fit comfortably in her mouth, kind of like a nipple. And we would put the wire attached to our pinky in her mouth. And then we would like slowly squeeze down the syringe. So it was like a two-hand job, right? So one of us was feeding her and then, well, Tim was feeding her and then I was pumping. Every hour and a half, this was going on. Oh. And it was like this for a month. And it was like so crazy.
It's exhausting.
Oh, it was nuts. It was absolutely nuts. And like, I was so grateful that she finally did latch after we did the revisions and like she went through some healing, but it's just, it's nuts. You don't think that these things can be an issue. Like you hear about breastfeeding, like it's this like normal, natural, innate thing.
Magical experience.
It's not.
Not for me anyway. For some people, I mean, if you're listening to this and it was, I'm so happy for you, but
I am
it wasn't
too.
For me either.
No, that's just the first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah, I had a very, not a similar experience, but I think a similar mindset in the beginning where I'm just like, no, I want 100% breastfed. I didn't care if it was breastfed. I was cool with it being a bottle, but I wanted to be breast milk.
Totally.
I did not want supplementation. Even in the NICU in the beginning, they're like, you know, supplementation, like it's best that baby is fed and versus, and I was like, well, I'd like to avoid that. So I was, like he was so little when he was born, he was 33 weeks. So he wasn't taking much, but you know, in the end, like I just couldn't produce enough where they had to start supplementing. But then when he got home, I was like, no, I'm going to continue pumping and everything and lived off that, you know, that was my life. And then same thing. Finally, I just exhausted myself and I was just like, okay. And again, there's nothing wrong with formula feeding. I actually stopped with breast milk completely, I think at 6 weeks, but I had so much reserves from all the pumping I did. And then so they were in the freezer downstairs. And then my husband accidentally unplugged the deep freeze to thaw it. He thought everything was out of it. And it was like months worth. So we stopped completely at 6 weeks. I was devastated. Because you know, there's so much of yourself that goes into that because you like that's your life. But we stopped at 6 weeks, and then with her, I wanted to go at least 2 months. I wanted 6 months, but I wanted to go at least 2 months. And then it was a similar situation. I just wasn't producing enough, and I was getting really frustrating. And it was kind of between that and my mental health. And I was like, had to just remind myself that is best. So she was on formula after that.
Yeah.
And look, there's nothing. Fine. Yeah. And she's fine. She's a pill, but she's fine. Yeah. I mean, I think we put so much pressure to be these perfect mothers in this idyllic situation. And for me, the idyllic situation was me not waking up every 3 hours to pump or whatever. And it just worked best for me. And I just feel like there's so much pressure as mothers to get it right. Well, obviously get it right. But you know, what is right? Everyone's situation is different.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
There needs to be, actually a friend just posted on Instagram before I jumped on here, something about, you know, there needs to be less judgment and how there needs to be more support. And like I commented, I'm like, yeah, there needs to be a community of mothers should have more support and not judging one another. Like, you don't know. Sorry, my daughter is here, by the way.
I didn't have the Zoom window open. And then I like opened it and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know until I opened it. Well, until she started making noise too. But yeah.
She's hanging out.
She's hanging out. So funny. If Sophie was here with me right now, she would be just nonstop talking. She'd be like, hi. And she'd be like, who's that? What's her name? Where, who got her dress for her? Oh, I like her hair. Just.
Yeah. Viv isn't that chatty. Like there's a lot of babble still. Like she's behind on our speaking. And, but like every Monday I have a mastermind and she's there. And when we weren't living in the hotel, showed up naked. I got her dressed and then all of a sudden she shows up at the computer that's naked. And I'm like, no, like these are people. What are
this
you
is
doing?
Not a free, sh- Not a free show, Vivian. Oh my God, not a free show.
Oh my God. Now the cat's coming in. See, I can never get a moment of peace. There's her, the cat. I mean, the dog was barking before. Like, yeah, because I got a puppy. We move and we get a puppy. Okay. And yeah, we got a golden retriever puppy. And they're cute. Ow! But holy, that's work. See, now she's meowing because she sees the cat. Like, this is my life. She'll just come sit and then start meowing. And this is something I didn't expect. Before having children was, you know, I thought they'd go play nicely, like how my son did. This one wants to be here.
Yeah. Let's chat about, okay, so this, you mentioned like that she's delayed on her speech, right? And that reminds me of the fact that as parents, and I can confidently say that we all do it, whether it's like a fleeting thought or we really like psychoanalyze other people's kids and compare them to ours. There have been like hundreds of times where I have been out with Sophie in public and someone will say to me, like, for instance, Sophie's speech, very, very, very strong. We have our struggles. As you know, I text you about them all the time. She's always been very, very verbally communicative. So when I'm out in public with her and she's like chatting up a storm and someone says, oh, how old is she? And I say, oh, she's 2.5. And they say, oh my God, she's so advanced. And it's like, well, what does that mean? Who are you comparing her to? In what way is she advanced? And it's like, I feel like thinking things that way can sometimes just like rob us of
peace.
I don't know. Just like, yeah, exactly. Peace. Like, we don't need to be doing that. Like, almost all of the time, our kids do things at different times. So like, whether that's like motor skills, speech skills, I don't know, personal grooming, like whatever it is, they do them at different times. And then they usually all catch up at some point. And it's not even a glimmer of a worry. So I feel like that just reminded me that like
they're not going to be 16 in high school, you know, still wearing a diaper or something.
Exactly.
Know?
Like, exactly.
So she is behind to about 6 months. The speech person said, that's what the one here said. The one in Prince George said she was only like a little bit behind. So everyone has different interpretations. The way we handle it is different. So what we're going to do, you know, it's just more, she said to narrate her day more. So it'll be like, oh, we are walking to get you a glass of water. Walk, 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 walk. Oh, we're eating this. Chew, 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 chew. And so we're working on that. And I'm not stressed out about it because I know like for my son, because he was super delayed and that was from him being so premature with everything, but now he does everything. Well,
and they were both premature. I mean, that makes a lot of sense to me. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's fine, but like my best friend, her daughter, she's like, I consider her quite advanced with her speaking as well, especially like you said, well, advanced compared to what? Well, compared to my daughter, absolutely. She has like full on conversations and is really aware of her words. She has a good vocabulary, but I don't stress about it. I stressed with my son and I learned after seeing him grow that he's fine. So I'm there.
That's the beauty of having a second kid, right? Like I talked about the fact that there's just so many things. Like I didn't experience postpartum anxiety and depression with Sophie. But I have this anxiety now, right? And like, who knows whether that will go away or turn into something different or sort of just stay on the same path that it's on when we have our second. But it's like, it manifests itself in different forms because as mothers, I think we all tend to worry about different things. Like I have a friend, a close friend, who's very, 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 very anxious and has battled depression. And she has a child. And she shared with me many times that like when her kid was a baby, like she would be worried about there being an earthquake and like her shelf falling on her, or she was very worried about SIDS. Like she started rolling onto her belly and she was terrified that she was going to suffocate. And like, none of those thoughts have, like, I never thought about that once with Sophie.
And oh, like, God, I still
worried about her. like falling down the stairs, but like I had other worries, right? So it's just like, it's so unique to that individual parent and that child and their experience. And
oh, I still check on Vivian when she's sleeping to make sure she's breathing.
Really?
Oh my God, I did that. I did that with both my kids, where I like go and I look in the door and then I don't really see them moving. So I'll go and I put my hand on their stomach to make sure it's rising and falling. I don't do that with my son anymore. He's 8. I think he's figured it out, but I still do it with my daughter, and we'll be laying in bed and my husband will be like, oh, did you check on Viv? And I'll be like, no, because I like to check on her before I go to bed. And then we'll lay there and one of us will be like, oh, for frick's sakes, and get up and go do it. But she's actually sleeping with me right now because she hates her bedroom and it's a scary change. So, I mean, she's right there, but it's just, yeah, it's like, I never thought that I'd be doing stuff like that. And it's annoying and it's in my head. Like, it's the same thing every night. I will get up and I'll make sure the stove's off and then I'll get back to bed and I know the stove is off.
Has it ever been on? It's never been on, right?
Maybe once or twice. But no, I mean, yeah, like every night. It's just, and it's like, oh, is the door locked? Like, this is my own anxieties that I'm working through. And like, I'll double check with my husband. I'm like, is the door locked? And he'll go check. And it's just ridiculous. Like, and I'm doing it to myself and I was getting better with it, but it started again. And I think it's when I have a lot going on, these anxieties creep up because I'm already heightened as it is. Like my, you know, my fight or flight heightened a little bit, but it's ridiculous. Like, it's just something to work through, but it's.
So as you mentioned, like fight or flight, and as we talk about anxiety, I want to share a little bit about, what has been making like me very anxious with Sophie. And I'm going to try to like condense this down as much as I can into like, hopefully no more than 5 minutes of chatter. Cause I want to talk about other things too. But you just saying fight or flight, like sparked something, in my brain. So those of you who follow me on Instagram, I've been like very open in the fact that we've received a diagnosis for Sophie having sensory processing disorder. And a lot of people don't know what it is. Like when I told my family, my mom's like, oh, that sounds like something that you had, but it just like wasn't something that was given much attention or diagnosed, you know, 20, 30 years ago. So usually it lives under an autism umbrella, but about like 10% of the time it can kind of stand alone as a disorder without the child being autistic. And it's sort of just like the child has anxiety and they have sensory processing. So what it means is that they have nervous system dysregulation. So these children, depending on whether they are, so they're sensory seekers, which means that they need more sensory input. So those are the kids usually that are autistic, that are like banging their heads on the wall. They're crashing into things. Like they just need to feel more things intensely to feel like they're regulated. And then there's sensory avoiders, which is Sophie mostly. Like she seeks sensory in some ways. Like she loves like jumping and like running and crashing, but mostly she's sensory avoidant. So like she'll hear a really loud noise that would like maybe annoy another kid or they wouldn't notice. But to her, it's like the most intense feeling. And it feels like the world, like she goes into fight or flight, like she can't handle it. So whether it's a loud noise, for like a year, we were dealing with hair washing being the most like violent, aggressive, like heartbreaking thing ever. Like she would be, talk about fight or flight. It was, I mean, I would sob washing her hair because there would be water all over the bathroom. She would be screaming for like 15 minutes, even though it would be like a 30-second process. And we tried so many different tricks. And it wasn't until I started meeting with a play therapist who taught me to showcase what I wanted her to display, like through her emotions with myself. So like when she was in fight or flight, or when she was going nuts, I would like start taking deep breaths and I would try to lower the amount of like verbal cues that I was giving her. Cause when she's shut down and when she's in fight or flight, she can't hear what I'm saying. She's not listening. Like, she needs me to demonstrate what I need her to do. So like taking deep breaths, like giving myself a hug, like very, very, very like verbal output is what has been helpful. And we've made a lot of strides. But it's crazy. It's just one of those things. Like, it's so hard going through something like that because there are so many behaviors that she exhibits and has exhibited, like as a baby, as an early toddler now, that, you know, friends and family see, but they're not with her all the time like I am. And they're like, oh, she's just a toddler. Oh, she's, you know, like as their mother, you know that these things aren't normal. Like, you know, when your kid is off or something's not right. So I just wanted to share this like experience because I think that not only being an advocate for yourself, but like for your child, if you feel like something is off and your close friends and family and other moms who you look up to or like whoever it is are telling you that like it's fine and brushing it off, if it's bugging you, go seek help. Go seek out, you know, a professional opinion or whatever it is, because I felt that way about Sophie. And I went to two different occupational therapists, and the first one was completely unhelpful because she only worked with autistic children. And she's like, well, her motor skills are great and her speech is great. She seems fine because she's not going to act the same way in an office with like a bunch of new playthings as she is going to act at home. So I went to go see a second one who did like a series of different like testing and played with her for like 2 hours. And we had a very extensive long conversation and she confirmed everything that I already believed. And now we're making strides in some ways and we're having other things come up that weren't prevalent before, but just knowing that you have support and someone on your team when you're going through something is incredibly helpful. So I just wanted to like share a little bit about that.
And you know, getting a second opinion is, or a third or a fourth, whether
however many you need,
you need the validation. But if you really feel like there's something up, some solutions would be helpful. Like, that's, I'm dealing with that with my daughter right now. So she hits her head a lot. You've heard it before in podcasts, like before when she'd nap, she'd be like, she gets on her hands and knees and like rocks and hits the top of her head on the side of her bed.
I didn't know this.
I did not know this. So she's been doing this since 8 months. And when I Google it, like, apparently this is like a soothing technique and some kids will do it till they're 6. But I'm like, no. Like, she has like a permanent goose egg. Like, it's gone down a bit. But she has a goose egg there. She has the goose egg on the back of her head. She like does it where she sits and hits back. And like, she has no hair there. She has like a dermatitis, like skin flaking and everything. And like, my doctor examined her like back in Prince George and was just like, you know, like it's behavior. Like, it's not something, like it's something she's going to grow out of type thing. Right. And it just, we've padded her crib, like her bed, her toddler bed. She rips it down. She will, like, we duct taped around. Somehow she got it the one side down, the side that she likes to hit her head on. She doesn't do it when she's in my bed, which is why she's sleeping in my bed right now, because I'm trying to heal her head. And she hits hard and for a long time, and like, it can't feel good. So I have a new doctor. I was really lucky. I was able to get on with a new doctor here, which is like, that's super rare, especially down here. And she's going to come and take a look at her. Like, we're going to bring her to the office. And it's just, I'm hopeful for some solutions.
Is she a developmental pediatrician? Because I know those exist and can be a lot more helpful than just like a standard pediatrician.
No. So she's a family physician here in Canada. You don't go to a pediatrician until, you don't get to go to a pediatrician unless you are referred to one. It's for like special situations. So Carter had one because he was so premature. She didn't even have she had one follow-up with a pediatrician after she was released from the hospital, but because she was doing so great, like, she didn't have to see another. So at least that's how it is here in British Columbia and at the time in Alberta with my son. And okay, honey, go eat your food. So Yeah, she's going to look, and she's like, she mentioned, she's like, maybe there'll be a referral somewhere. Like, it just, it gives me hope that there might be a solution, because I've tried the things that Google have said. I spoke to a sleep consultant and I gave some of those tries, and it's just, I didn't expect that.
My doorbell ring.
You have company.
I think
you have a package.
I'm not expecting anyone until 11:30.
Yeah, no, it's a package. Go get your Amazon.
if they ring it again, I'll go out there. So if it is Amazon, it's actually, I'm very grateful, because it's a mattress protector. So I'm probably going to end up giving birth on my bed, and I don't have a mattress protector.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm like, can we just wait until my mattress protector arrives? Cause I have like a few fitted sheets, and I have like a curtain line or a shower curtain, but I'm like, it would be nice to have like an official mattress protector.
I'm going on a tangent here. I used to sell mattresses.
And what?
Yeah, I used to sell mattresses. I used to be like furniture sales and appliances and stuff at a store. But I used to sell mattresses. Okay. And you need a mattress protector. If you do not have a mattress protector, go order one off Amazon right now. Because I can't remember. Like, it's been like 11 years since I did this. Ew, just,
I'm sure the bacteria in my mattress is disgusting. I know it.
Luckily, well, okay, like,
Tim hasn't been sleeping in that bed, so it's just my sweat and nastiness.
Well, a lot of like your dead skin cells and everything go in there, and the dust mites and whatever. But like your weight, the mattress, I think it's like triple or whatever its weight in its time because of all that. And some, not all mattress protectors, but some mattress, I think the majority, not only does it prevent from liquid going through, but it prevents the skin cells and everything from going through, and it can prolong your life. Some mattress companies, if it leaks through, there is a warranty where they'll buy your bed. I don't know if like the ones on Amazon do that, but some, the one that I used to sell had a guarantee of that. Whether or not it's really honored and what the hoops you have to jump through, I don't know. But you got to get a mattress protector. Anyway, so this first recording of the podcast was a little bit of a hot mess, but you know, that is just us with being mothers and working from home and during a pandemic, like having everything go through. So Monica had to jump off because she had an appointment show up early at her home. And we will continue a conversation next week, as long as Monica doesn't have her baby early, because she is 38 weeks pregnant at this time of recording. But I'm really excited that we were able to jump back on and kind of talk about things we didn't know were going to happen with being moms, things we didn't expect. And it's from the funny things like, oh, I'll never let my kid do this, or I'll never let my kids eat that, to not knowing about the anxieties, or not knowing about some of these troubles and really kind of traumas that you're going through with your children, as my daughter chokes on water. Are you okay there? Oh, okay. But like, we don't realize that sometimes maybe a speech delay will trigger your anxiety, or, you know, what Monica's going through. We don't realize that these things are going to happen. So I would love to hear what your unknown motherhood qualm is. So you can shoot me a message at Random Nutrition, or Monica at The Movement Menu, or hey, we actually, oh no, that's right, we have an Instagram account for the podcast. It's at The Healthy Mamas Podcast. Or is it Healthy Mamas? See, again, we're a hot mess over here, and you know, we're just going to keep it real. You know, I don't like to edit out things in the podcast unless they really have to be, or I'm asked to. We like to keep things real to show that there's no perfection. This is motherhood. This is two moms who live in different countries trying to get together and have a conversation. And I am thankful that you can see our real life and kind of laugh at our mess ups. Like, I had to go take my daughter to the potty because I'm potty training during this conversation. I don't know if you guys heard it, but you know, this is our life. And we're called the Healthy Mamas Podcast, but maybe we should be called the Hot Mess Express Podcast. I don't know. Either way, I'm super grateful, and I know Monica is, that you are here with us, and we will chat again next week. Bye.